This morning's message is about, not exactly a narrow way, but it's about a road. And we're looking at the account of Jesus' appearance to two disciples on the road to Emmaus, a relatively well-known story that comes at the end of Luke's Gospel. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to your word, Heavenly Father, I pray that you might minister and build your people up, O Lord. And Heavenly Father, we pray that we would hear your voice and know that you are walking and talking with us, O Lord, on our own Emmaus Road. Father, we pray for the work, the powerful work, O Lord, of your Holy Spirit amongst us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So I looked up the meaning of Emmaus because I quite find it quite interesting to look up meanings, and it means hot baths. And really, that doesn't seem to have much significance at all, apart from the fact, I suppose, there were probably thermal baths at this particular village. It was a village about 7 miles or so northwest of Jerusalem, although the exact location is not known today. And there are Christian ministries and there are charities that take the name sometimes of Emmaus. For example, our Emmaus, which is up over Landbeach Way. It says at the beginning of Luke chapter 24 that on the same day as Jesus' resurrection, that is, the same day as the women made the discovery of the empty tomb, the first Easter Sunday, two disciples were walking from Jerusalem to the village of Emmaus. One of the disciples was called Cleopas, and the other one, we don't know his name or possibly her name. And there is some speculation that the other disciple may have been Cleopas' wife, but really we don't know. But certainly on the road they were discussing, the word there for discussing could possibly mean arguing, about the events that had taken place in Jerusalem, what they meant, how Jesus had been crucified, and the amazing report of the women who had gone to the tomb and found it empty and had a vision of angels to say that he was alive. And they were walking and they were talking, and a third man joined them. They didn't know who it was. In fact, he was a stranger to them. But actually, it was the risen Lord. And funnily enough, because I think it is a bit humorous, they tell him about all that had happened. And Jesus plays along with it. And he keeps his identity hidden from them. And then he begins to explain and open up to them the scriptures to explain the basis of all the events that had happened in Jerusalem over the last 3 days. And then they arrive in Emmaus in the evening and they urge Jesus to stay with them because it was so late. And they have a meal together. And Jesus blesses and breaks the bread, and suddenly the disciple recognizes who the stranger is. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And then he disappears from their sight. And the disciples are filled with awe and they rush back to Jerusalem, another 7 miles back, to share this good news with the disciples, that is the 11, that the Lord is risen indeed. And so the story of the road to Emmaus comes at the conclusion of Luke's gospel. In a sense, it is a conclusion of Luke's gospel. And at the introduction of Luke's gospel in chapter 1, in verses 1 to 4. Luke goes into a lot of detail to explain that before putting pen to paper, before writing his gospel, he undertook a lot of research. He undertook a careful investigation of all the events that had happened, particularly by talking to eyewitnesses of those events. And he says that he had done this in order that you might know the certainty of the things that you have been taught. And the interesting thing is, the word for know there is the same word that pops up in Luke chapter 24 and is translated as recognize. Tells us in verse 31 of chapter 24, their eyes were opened and they recognized him. They knew him and he disappeared from their sight. And the question today is, do we know, do we recognize the certainty of the things that we have been taught concerning Jesus' death and resurrection? Do we know for ourselves our risen Lord and Saviour? And we might ask, how indeed is this possible? Well, Luke answers that question in the story to Emmaus in two ways. And in a sense, as they say, it's not rocket science. First, Christ is made known to us through the reading and through the exposition of the Holy Scriptures. And secondly, Christ is made known to us in the Christian community, in particular in the breaking of bread. So let's look first of all at the first point. Christ is made known to us in the reading and the exposition of scriptures. I began my spiritual journey back in the early 1980s while I was at university studying chemistry. And during that time, a time when I was looking for answers, a very formative time in our lives, in our late teens and early 20s, when we begin to ask some of the big questions about life. And I picked up a Bible, which was actually my christening Bible, and it was a King James Bible. I have to say, much of what I read, I did not understand. Because I picked up some of the basics of the gospel, but I didn't know Christ. He was still a stranger to me. Even though when I read my Bible, I experienced peace, that looking back now, I can understand as the peace of God. And I think it was then that I'd started out on my own Emmaus Road journey. The two disciples were on a literal road, going to a literal Emmaus, and they knew about the crucifixion of Jesus. They'd heard the reports of the empty tomb, and they said to the stranger who was walking with them, "Some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early in the morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they'd seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. And then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus." There are so many today in this village and across our lands who have heard something of the gospel. Maybe they've learned something of Christianity at school. Maybe they used to go to church. They've heard about Jesus. They've heard about the crucifixion. Perhaps they've even heard that Jesus died for their sins. They've heard about the empty tomb and that they know there are Christians around who say that he is alive. But he's still a stranger to them. Their eyes have not been opened. They have not really understood or believed that Jesus rose up from the grave, as the hymn says, with a mighty triumph over his foes. They don't know Jesus as their own personal Lord and Saviour. And so the question is, how do we get from A to B? How do we get from this place where we have some head knowledge of the gospel? And that head knowledge needs to drop down 6 inches to become heart knowledge, so that we know Christ for ourselves. Verse 16 says, they were kept from recognizing him. But clearly from the story and the whole intention of Luke's gospel, Jesus' plan was to reveal himself to them. And knowing Christ can only come by revelation from God. We can't think ourselves to Christ just by our own human thoughts and intellect. But the point is, Jesus did it in a particular way. Not just by a flash of inspiration from heaven, although we can have inspiration certainly, but he taught them through the scriptures. Not only that, he thought actually they should already have actually been able to understand it themselves if they had really paid attention to the scriptures. This is what he said. He said to them, how foolish you are. How slow of heart you are to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? We are equally foolish. We are equally slow of heart to believe, and I include myself in that. Christ is made known to us through the reading, through the study, through the exposition, preaching of his holy word. It says in verse 27, and beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what is said in the scriptures concerning himself. Jesus gave a correct interpretation of the Old Testament scriptures, described here as Moses and all the prophets. And he did it in such a way as to show how the prophecies and all that had come before ultimately pointed to the Messiah who was to come, with whom he himself identified. He explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. I don't know about you, but I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall at that moment. We don't know what Jesus said, but I think it is not unlikely at all that Isaiah 53 was included in the conversation. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each one of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. And later on that evening, after the supper, after Jesus had disappeared, the two disciples reflected on what Jesus had said. And they said to each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us. John Wesley, the great Methodist preacher, had his own Emmaus Road experience. This is an example I've used several times before. He was an Anglican minister. He'd been a missionary in the United States. And as surprising as it may seem to us, he came to realize that Christ was still a stranger to him. He did not really know Christ. And this can be true today. And this is how he described it. He said, I went very unwillingly, sounds like us. I went very unwillingly to a meeting in Aldersgate Street, that's in London, where one was reading Luther's preface to the Epistle to the Romans. And it was about 9:15. While he was describing the change which God works in the heart through faith in Christ, that I felt my heart strangely warmed. And I did trust in Christ alone for salvation, and an assurance was given me that he had taken away my sins, even mine, and saved me from the law of sin and death. Blessed assurance that Jesus is mine. Wesley was listening to an explanation of the book of Romans. The Holy Spirit was working in his heart, and he was converted to Christ. And wherever God's word is taught, wherever the gospel is preached, the Holy Spirit is working and drawing people powerfully to Christ. And that's something we should remember, even when we simply give our testimony to others. Paul tells us in Romans that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. The risen Christ, Jesus Christ, who's alive and enthroned in heaven, is made known to us through the scriptures, and our appropriate response is to repent and to believe. Secondly, Christ is made known to us in the Christian community. And this is why church is important. This is why it's important to have a spiritual home. God is our Father. He's called us into his family because he wants a family. And as a Christian, you're part of his family. The church is a place where we should be encouraged. Yes, sometimes we rub up against each other and our edges can be a little bit sharp and hurt. Hello. But the church is a place where we should be encouraged and built up in our faith. All the post-resurrection appearances of Jesus were to groups of people of two or more. And on the road to Emmaus, Jesus appeared to two disciples. And the result was fellowship. Let's see what you're going to do when you're grown up.
Sorry.
No. Verse 28 to 31 says, as they approached the village to where they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, stay with us, for it's nearly evening. The day is almost over. And he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took the bread and gave thanks and broke it and began to give it to them, And then their eyes were opened and they recognized him and he disappeared from their sight. Why did they recognize him? Maybe the way in which he broke bread. Possibly something because when he broke the bread, they saw the nail holes in his hands. But actually, the text doesn't say. And I think the main point is this, that Christ is revealed to us in the Christian community. And the breaking of bread is the most sacred and intimate expression of that community. Jesus said, "For where two or three gather in my name, there I am in the midst of them." Amen. The Christian community is the place where we should grow and can grow in our faith. It's the place where we come to know Christ better. It's the place where we hear the word of Christ. It's the place where we pray together. It's the place where we can rejoice together. It's the place where we can cry together. It's the place where we serve Christ together, both in his church and in the world, as he leads us and as he guides us. John said in his first epistle, "Our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." When the two disciples set out on the road to Emmaus, they had absolutely no idea how their lives would be changed that day. They thought they were going perhaps home to their village. Instead, they met the risen Christ. It was the day when their discussion, which perhaps at times became arguments about what happened to Jesus, was silenced because they met the risen Christ for themselves. They recognized, they came to know the certainty of the things that they had been taught. And that's what we pray for each person here today, that we would have a fresh encounter with Jesus, who is the risen Christ.